page 523, The Method and Function of an Analytic Social Psychology. 1. Impressed by the libidinal admixtures of the instincts for self-preservation and the special significance of the destructive tendencies, Freud has modified his original position over against the life-maintaining and erotic instincts. He now sets the death instinct. Significant as Freud's argument is for the modification in his original position, it is far more speculative and less empirical than his original position. To me, it seems to rest upon an intermingling of biological data and psychological tendencies, an intermingling that Freud has otherwise avoided. It also stands in contrast with an original viewpoint of Freud, which saw the instincts primarily as wishing, desiring, and serving man's striving for life. One of the consequences of Freud's overall position, it seems to me, is that man's psychic activity develops as an adaptation of life's processes and necessities, and that the instincts as such are contrary to the biological death principle. Discussion about the hypothesis of death instinct is still going on within psychoanalysis. In our presentation here, we take off from Freud's original position. 2. At the time of writing this paper, I adhered to the Freudian libido theory and hence speak of libidinal forces, energies, or of libidinal structures or drive structures, where today I would not refer to the libido but to passionate forces of various kinds. For the main points of this paper, this difference, however, is not too relevant. 1970. 3. The stimulation and satisfaction of sadistic impulses play a special role. These impulses grow when other instinctual satisfactions of a more positive nature are ruled out on socio-economic grounds. Sadism is the great instinctual reservoir to which one appeals when one has no other and usually more costly satisfactions to offer for masses. At the same time, it is useful in annihilating the enemy. 4. See Sigmund Freud, 3 Essays on the Theory of Sexuality. 5. The real object of psychoanalysis is the psychic life of a socialized man. The masses come in for consideration only insofar as individual-based phenomena crop up in them. For example, the problem of the leader, and only insofar as traits of the mass psyche, anxiety, panic, obedience, and so on, can be clarified from our knowledge of individuals. It would seem that the phenomenon of class consciousness is hardly accessible to psychoanalysis, and that sociological problems, mass movements, politics, and so on, cannot be the object of the psychoanalytic method. Wilhelm Reich, Dialektischer Materialismus und Psychoanalysis. Unter dem Banner des Marxismus, Roman 3, 5, pages 737. Because of the theoretical importance of this methodological problem, I stress my difference with the standpoint of Reich just presented. In his latest works, Reich seemed to have modified this standpoint in a very fruitful way. Later on, I shall refer to my many points of agreement with his outstanding empirical investigations into social psychology. 6. On the methodological aspect, see my extensive treatment in E. Fromm, The Dogma of Christ, in the place cited, also S. Birnfeld, Sozialismus und Psychoanalyse mit Diskussionsbemerkungen von E. Simmel und B. Lantus, Der sozialistische Arzt, Roman 2, 2-3, 1929, Reich, in the place cited. 7. Sigmund Freud, Group Psychology and the Analysis of the Ego. 8. Leaving aside worthless investigations, for example, A. Koine's superficial studies of psychoanalysis and sociology, and such works as Psychoanalysis der Europäischen Politik. We would apply the same criticism to authors such as Reich and Roheim, who have dealt with them in social psychology. There are exceptions, however. Page 524. S. Bernfeld has focused admirably on the social conditioning of all pedagogical efforts in Süfios Oder über die Grenzen der Erziehung. Another exception is Wilhelm Reich, whose evaluation of the role of the family is in broad agreement with the view developed in this paper. In particular, Reich has done extensive research into the social conditioning and the social functioning of sexual morality. 9. Psychologically, we must distinguish in the individual the traits that are typical for the whole society from the traits that are typical of his class. But since the psychic structure of the whole society is stamped on the individual classes in certain basic traits, the specific class traits, for all their importance, are of secondary importance vis-à-vis those of the whole society. Indeed, one of the characteristics of a class society concealed by ideologies is the opposition between the relative uniformity of the different classes' psychic structure and their conflicting economic interests. The more a society breaks down economically, socially, and psychologically, the more the dominating and binding force of the overall society or ruling class disappears. The greater become the differences in the psychic structure of the various classes. 10. I no longer believe that it is only an irrelevant error not to understand the socially conditioned traits of the individual patient. On the contrary, without such understanding, one misses essential factors in the character structure of the patient. 1970. 11. See Sigmund Freud, Totem and Taboo. 12. In The Future of an Illusion, 1927, Freud softens his position that neglects social reality and its changes. Recognizing the significance of economic conditions, he moves from the standpoint of individual psychology and the question of how religion is psychologically possible for the individual, a repetition of the child's attitude toward its father, to the social psychological question why religion is socially possible and necessary. His answer is that religion was necessary so long as mankind needed capability with a vis nature. With the growth of technology and the concomitant maturation of mankind, religion became a superfluous and pernicious illusion. This book of Freud does not consider all the social relevant function of religion. In particular, it does not consider the important question of the connection between specific forms of religion and specific social constellations. But in method and content, this work of Freud comes closest to a materialistic social psychology. As far as content is concerned, we need only cite this sentence from it. It need hardly to be pointed out that a culture which leaves so many members unsatisfied and discontent has little prospect of lasting long and is doing little to achieve that goal. Freud's book is in line with the standpoint of Marx as a young man who could use as his motto, the abolition of religion, the illusory happiness of the proletariat is the demand to promote his true happiness. The demand to give up illusions about his condition is the summons to give up a condition which needs illusion. At its core, criticism of religion is criticism of the veil of tears whose halo is religion. Zur Kritik der Hegelschen Rechtsphilosophie, Literary Nachlass, Roman 1, 1923, page 385. In his latest work, Dealing with Problem in Social Psychology, Civilization and Its Discontents, Freud does not develop this line either in method or in content. Rather, it should be regarded as an antithesis to the future of an illusion. Page 525. 13. In Why is Psychoanalysis Popular? Foreword, 1927. Russell writes, of course, psychoanalysis is incompatible with Marxism, for Marx stresses the economic motive, which at best is tied up with self-preservation, while psychoanalysis stresses the biological motive, which is tied up with self-preservation through reproduction. Clearly, the two points of views are one-sided, since both motives play a role. Russell then talks about hypothetical mayfly, which may have only organs for eating in the larva stage and only organs for lovemaking in the adult stage. What would such an insect say if it could think, says Russell? In the larva stage, it would be a Marxist, in the adult stage, a Freudian. Russell then adds that Marx, the bookworm of the British Museum, is the representative of the larva's philosophy. Russell himself feels closer to Freud, since the latter is not insensitive to the choice of lovemaking and does not try to explain things in terms of making money, that is, in terms of the orthodox economy created by desiccated old men. 14. Henrik de Man, Zur Psychologie des Sozialismus, 1927, page 281. 15. Bernstein, die Voraussetzungen des Sozialismus und die Aufgaben der Sozialdemokratie, Stuttgart, 1899, page 13. 16. At the very start of his book, Der historische Materialismus, Kautsky firmly rejects the psychologistic interpretation, but he then goes on to supplement historical materialism with a purely idealist psychology by assuming that there is a pristine social drive. 17. Indeed, many of the objections raised against historical materialism actually apply to the specifically bourgeois admixtures smuggled into the theory by friends or opponents. 18. It is clear from the whole context that by love I refer to Freud's early formulation, in which love was used in the popular sense as being identical with sexuality, including the pregenital. It would have been clearer if I had written self-preservation and sexuality, 1970. 19. Just as the wild beast must contend with nature to satisfy his needs, maintain his life, and reproduce, so the civilized man must do the same thing in all the forms of society and with every possible means of reproduction or production. As he develops, the range of his natural needs broadens, because his needs do, but the productive capability which satisfy these needs also expand. Marx, Das Kapital, Hamburg, 1922, Roman 3, 2, page 355, italics mine. 20. In Marx's contribution to the knowledge of man, I have corrected this view and have shown that Marx had a much more elaborate psychology than indicated in the text, 1970. 21. In his economic and philosophical manuscripts, not yet published at the time when this paper was written, Marx makes the point very explicit. He writes, The only wheels that political economy sets in motion are greed. Even a scholar with the best intentions of being objective, R. Tucker, was influenced by the widely held opinion that Marx assumed greed to be a primary motive, so that he mistranslated the difficult German passage to mean the opposite, namely, the only wheels that set political